the hope, but it's not always possible. And then he says, but to the rest, I, not the Lord, or he's saying Jesus didn't comment on this. I say, if a brother has a wife who doesn't believe and she's willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. And a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he's willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. For the believing husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but now they're holy. He's saying, and that, again, is the case. My mom's, that's a very hard situation. My mom got remarried, and then years down the road, she gets radically saved. Just everyone who talks to her, you know, her nickname's Joan the Baptist. She's sharing Jesus with people. But her husband's not saved. Very difficult. They're going down two different paths, two different ideas. You go in the home, you talk about money, two different directions. Talk about, you know, anything. You don't have the things in common that you thought you had in common at one time because you're going in two different directions, two different ideas. Hers are eternal. You know, Bob's aren't necessarily eternal. Nice guy. But it's hard. You're dealing with a very difficult situation. And God says, Paul says, that's now your ministry. That's your ministry. It's your number one ministry. Is to your unsaved. If they're willing to stay, Sometimes they're not. They say they are, but they're not. They're running around. They're doing all kinds of crazy stuff. Yeah, I want to stay. Proof is in the pudding sometimes. But if they want to stay, your ministry now is to your unsaved spouse. And it says that you're sanctifying your children, that now that's your responsibility. It's, you know, you raise your children. It's nice to have two people in the home. They're Christians, and you're both reading. You alternate. You're reading. You're praying. You're talking. You're counseling. You're driving in the car talking. Now it's all on one person. It's on the husband or the wife, the believing spouse. That's a lot of weight. Because now you're carrying the weight of your spouse who's not saved and all the weight of your children and raising them in the Lord and trying to counteract some of the things. I remember, you know, my mom's saved. Bob's not saved. I go to the house. My mom's trying to preach Jesus and Bob's handing me a beer, I'm 18. Like, we're talking about two different, you know, mentalities. And you're trying to counteract that. You're trying to I didn't raise you that way. It's not what the Bible says. It's very difficult. It can be very difficult. Hard situation. And we pray for people that are in that situation all the time. It says this in verse 15, but if the unbeliever departs... Here's another way of divorce, verse 15 in chapter 7, 1 Corinthians. The unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under any bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. For how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you'll save your wife? Listen, if you're thinking about marriage, people in the back row, be patient. God, I promise you, has somebody for you. He's preparing that person for you. Be patient. Your foundation can't be looks, personality, a pulse. Are you breathing? Oh, wow, you're perfect for me. You think I'm pretty? Right? Sometimes that can be the deciding factor. Like, wow, you're alive and you like me? Great. It can't be it. Be patient. If your marriage is struggling, work on it. Tend to it. There's time and effort and energy that's got to be put into a marriage. It's like a garden, it really is. You get out what you put in. If you're trying to take something out of it that you haven't put into it, good luck. It's going to become volatile and not good. If you've been divorced, it's a statistic. It's not the unpardonable sin. God has grace and love and mercy and plans still. That's amazing. God still has plans and purposes for your life, good ones. Cares. He loves you. So, Lord, we just thank you for your love. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you said this. This is your idea. Thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy over our lives, God. We need you so much. And we want to commit our ways to you, Lord. I pray for marriages here. It's been a battle ever since the fall. It's been a battle, Lord. And we need you. The church needs you. We need you. We need your Holy Spirit, God. Pray that that you'd help in our lives, God. Pray we can tend to our marriage. Pray that there be grace, no condemnation for people who maybe feel condemned about their past. And I pray for the young people who are thinking about marriage, Lord, that they would be patient. Finding somebody that loves Jesus more than them. It's good to be pretty or cute or have a good personality and that match, but the bottom line, Lord, is the foundation, Jesus, you said that we're to build on, is hearing your word and doing it. God, I pray for these young people. It's a huge struggle and a huge temptation. I just lift them up to you, Jesus, in your name.